Summertime is almost here. Enroll your child in Bethel's summer program, Camp Bethel. This year, we will be celebrating our 20th year anniversary. In addition to Bible lessons preached by Camp Director and Youth Pastor Wayne Diggs, Camp Bethel offers weekly trips to exciting places.
Hershey Park.
The Shamity.
Kimmel Beach.
Funplex.
Join us for these trips and much, much more this summer at Camp Bethel. Registration has begun. Call 215-885-2585 to enroll your child today.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Now, today we want to go into another segment of the vision, another concept of vision. We want to help you to understand why it's important, why it's significant to have a vision. After our time of prayer, your spirit becomes sensitive to God, semicolon, but also sensitive to the spiritual realm, which means that you are susceptible to satanic vision. Don't think that your entrance into the supernatural is only for God. Satan can get in there because he's a supernatural being as well. And I would hazard a guess, and when I say that so many people are confused when they think they're moving for God and they're really moving for themselves. So many people say, the Lord told me, the Lord told me, the Lord told me. And I sit with people who were part of Bethel at one time, and the Lord told them to leave, and now they reach out and they say, I made a mistake, because there was no growth when they left. And so my heart is such that I reach out. I don't push anybody away. Amen. When someone is willing to recognize an improper step, Galatians 6 says that we must restore them. And I'm all about restoration. It's amazing when you get to be 27, 28 years old, how you look more towards connecting. You see, the pride and the arrogance of youth is replaced by the need to connect. And maybe it's because you begin realizing you're getting older and you don't want to be left in a room by yourself. I remember once going into a restroom and a man was coming in with his son, and he stood his son up on the urinal, and as his son was relieving himself, I said to him, it's amazing, you're taking him to the bathroom now. I said, but there's coming a day when he's going to take you. He says, yeah, I never thought about that. I said, you better treat him good. I said, or he's going to wheel you into the stall and just slam the door behind you. And the next sound we hear is you falling off the chair. And he says, you know, I never thought of that. And I said, no, we don't, because we're so independent, we're so self-reliant that we don't think that one day, because Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, you were dependent upon somebody when you were young, and you're going to be dependent upon somebody when you get old. Somebody's going to have to hold your hand and walk you where you don't want to go. And no matter how much you fight it, no matter how much you say age is a number, that's a lie. Age is more than a number. It is your body realizing you can't run up three steps at one time anymore. And this is how you know you're crossing the river called age. It's got nothing to do with the Lord. It has nothing to do with the symptoms that come from arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis and headaches and anxiety over teenagers. You receive a letter in the mail from the AARP. You don't get it when you're 20. You don't get it when you're 30. You don't get it when you're 40. But around 45, it's amazing how they know that you're reaching that age. And you get, and some of you didn't deny, I ain't even going to open it. Let me tell you, open it. All kinds of discounts in there. Lord have mercy. Don't reject it. Open it and get them discounts. Even some cruise lines give you a discount when you got an AARP card. I mean, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. But when you talk about vision, this is important. You have more vision when you're younger because you're not far from the kingdom of God. You just came here. You've just arrived in humanity, so you see much more than you're capable of realizing in the natural. But the longer you stay around people, all of a sudden your vision begins to change. There are two important concepts I need you to understand with this. First is, as your vision changes, you begin to develop something I call blame shifting. The reason why I'm not where I am is because somebody else did it. But it's amazing that once you reach the place you want to be, then you give glory to God. You can't take credit for your successes, nor can you take blame for your defeats. The same God who exalts you is the same God who brings you low. Amen. Don't blame people. Amen. Don't blame people. No one has that kind of authority over you to shut anything down. If I came into this office tomorrow and the leadership of Bethel said to me, we're no longer going to pay you, I can't blame them. God allowed it. I can't become angry with the board. God allowed it. Taking it out on them won't restore it, because the same God that touched them to give it is the same God that told them to take it. Because vision means God is in the center. Either he's in charge or he's not. You can't have it both ways. You can't say he's in charge when things are going your way and then say somebody else is in charge when things are not going your way. If your life is dependent upon someone else, then that person has the right to stop. And the same God that started them can stop them. So notice in Habakkuk chapter 2, we're going there again, and we're going to look at the five key components to a vision. Every one of you is visionary. You have the capability to be a visionary. You have everything you need to see beyond where you are. You have the capability to see beyond where you are. Yes, but there are five key components to the vision. Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch, set myself upon the tower, and I'm going to watch to see what he will say to me, and then I'm going to determine how I should answer him when he reproves me. And the Lord answered me and says, here's all I want you to do is write the vision and make it plain upon the tablets so that the person may run with it as they read it. The vision that I give to you, now this is critical. And if you are to be successful in your visionary pursuits, you must realize that when God gives you a vision, the very fabric of vision is understanding it's for future. A vision is not for now. There are some guarantees that come with a God vision. We'll examine them. He says, the vision is for an appointed time. And the King James says, but at the end it shall speak. And really, what the verse is suggesting is, when it comes to pass, you'll know it. You won't need another prophecy to say that's it. It shall speak. You will know it. He says, it will not lie. You won't be deceived by God's vision. He said, though it tarry. Now this is the interesting part. The tarrying concept means that it may need to go beyond your generation. This passage testifies of the uniqueness of God to deal with us from an eternal position. In other words, since there is no death in God, And since the people of God live forever, God can make a promise to me that is a visionary realization, and it will come to pass in my child's life because I pass the vision on to her. There was a promise, a vision, if you will, that the children of God would enter into their own land. Joseph, prior to the children of Israel even being in bondage, they were still in Egypt on good terms with Pharaoh, prophesied to them that surely the Lord will visit us, and when we leave here to go to our land, please remember to take my bones. He passed that on to his children and his grandchildren, who passed it on to their posterity, who then brought him out because of what he saw. So the Bible says, even though the vision will tarry, wait for it. Because it will come. It will not languish. It will not wait around forever. And then he throws in the key component of this entire discourse. He says, but the just shall live by faith. This is the only time in the Old Testament the word faith is used here in Habakkuk. In other words, when you receive a vision from God, you must believe that it's going to come to pass. And not allow yourself to be pulled off course by what is not happening while you wait for what is to happen. So here are the 5 points again I want to give you just for information. Number one, the vision must be written. What did God say? Did you write it down? If you say, no, I trust it to my mind, don't do that, because your mind is limited and it will not hold on to key things. Mind holds on to hurt. Mind holds on to extreme successes, but it doesn't hold on to mundane things, your day-to-day life. The second thing he says, the vision must be plain. Don't operate in mysticism. Don't think every dream has a spiritual meaning. Don't think that every dream comes from God. Sometimes I dream things that are not of God. Sometimes they're me getting back at people for what they've done years ago. And in my dream, I go up to their car and puncture their tires and bust their windows and snipe them from 1,000 yards away. That's not God. But watch this. It's also not the devil. It's unresolved issues inside of me. He's sitting there going, oh, my Lord, my pastor. My pastor's bad. Yes. No good thing dwells in any of our flesh. The same anointing that I need to keep my flesh under, so do you. The only difference between you and me is I'm honest enough to say it. I tell God the truth. Write that vision. Write it out. There was a time in my life, I don't do it much anymore because I think that my life with God is slightly different, but there was a time in my spiritual evolution where I used to keep a pen and a notepad next to my bed. So when God would wake me up with visionary things, I could write it down so that I would not forget it. Write that vision down. Then realize after you write it that it's for an appointed time. It's not for when you want it to be. It's for an appointed time. In other words, it will come to pass where it fits. Yes, sir. Amen. Listen carefully. God may say something to you and you're not ready for it. Someone else may step into it until you're ready. If you get discouraged because someone else is stepping into it, then your vision loses its bite. But if you realize the Lord gave that to you, and even though someone else is in it, all they are vision holders. They're just keeping this thing moving forward. The devil will have you take your eyes off of what God said, focus on the person that's in your place, and you become discouraged and walk away from your vision rather than realize God is just using them to hold this thing together until I'm ready. Case in point, God tells Samuel, go down to Jesse's house. My king is there. Jesse sits down with Samuel. Samuel says, bring your boys out so that I can evaluate them. Jesse brings every son out to Samuel who has physical ability, who has charismatic skills, who looks good and all the other things. And the Lord said, this is not him. David is off in some obscure place taking care of sheep. Has no idea that God has been grooming him to be the next king. I'm sure that David had some knowledge of Samuel coming. I don't think that his brothers were that crass that they wouldn't have said, look, you better come on in. The prophet is coming. I don't think that they were that nasty. But the text suggests that whatever David knew, nothing was taking him from his assigned duty. Hear me clearly. Your future is written by God, but don't let the pursuit of your future take you from a faithful present. Be faithful to what God called you to now so that you don't miss the success of your future. If you are not faithful over the few things in your present, then when God gives you more in your future, you'll fail miserably. What he's doing in your present is testing your character. Why is he doing that? So when you walk into your future, those issues that come with your future, the greater responsibility of your future, will not detour you and cause you to crash and burn. Lord, help me. If you understand that the vision is for an appointed time, you will not become discouraged when it appears that somebody else is taking your place. If you bring a song to Roz and say, the Lord gave me this song, I want to sing this song, and she gives it to Sherry, you don't become angry with Sherry because the Lord may not have wanted you to sing it. He just wanted you to write it. We think that we must do everything that is in us. We think that we have to be the owners of everything that comes to us. There's a cook in the kitchen whom many of us never see. But the cook is represented by the person who seats you, by the person who gives you the menu, by the cleanliness of the silverware, by the speed of the service, by the reputation of the restaurant. You have not even seen the cook. And already their representatives have caused you to determine whether or not you want to stay to taste their food. They may have been trained at the Cordon Bleu in Paris, France, but if there's a lousy waitress, you will never know how good that food is. When God gives you a vision, you have to be the person who takes the vision and processes it so that you can represent it with the same love as the God who gave it to you. And if you are a lousy representative, you're not ready for the vision to be carried out through you. So it appears that the vision is given when you are incapable or unprepared to walk in it. This is why you write it, so you can go back later and see how close you are to its fulfillment after, after you go through character building courses to help you understand the principal concept of the kingdom. Get along with people. Until your heart is pliable towards people, you aren't ready to walk in that vision. And what I've learned is when God appoints someone else to do what you want to do, he's telling you you're not ready. Because nobody, you might sit there and say, well, I should be doing this, but Pastor Lambert thought, Pastor Lambert don't have power over your destiny. God doesn't consult with Pastor Lambert about your destiny. I can't stop your destiny. Only God can stop it. And when he throws up a door and says, I want somebody else to do that, you say, hallelujah, get on board and help that person be the best they can be. Because the vision will not tarry. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, it's coming to pass. How many of you play the lottery? A couple of them raised their hands. Look, thank God for your honesty. There were a lot more that do, but they wouldn't raise their hand. You were honest. God knows you play the lottery. And God knows the reason you play it is so you can give to the building fund. He knows that. He knows that's what you've told him while you secretly go out to Radnor and look at a $500,000 house. But every one of you that plays the lottery, you don't expect to lose. You play it with the vision of winning. In most instances, you've spent the money before they've even called the numbers. Because you see yourself already winning it. Do you know that is a capability that comes from the kingdom of God? Since Jesus said the Holy Spirit, one of his main responsibilities is to show you the future, do you know you possess the ability to see the future and to have a vision sculpted by God so that you don't have to be in a state of constant anxiety and despair, but the depression that settled on you yesterday can be kicked off of you today because God promised that every weapon formed will not prosper and you must see yourself victorious. Before you walk in victory, vision is for an appointed time. Get yourselves together. I want praise back in the church. Praise of anticipation. I believe God's about to do something. Glory, glory, glory. Y'all don't hear me. Years ago, when she really loved me, I used to tell Mother Flanagan, I would tell her about my vision for a 7-Up cake. That was back when she loved me. And she would say, all right, Pastor. She said, I'm going to make that cake. And she would always call me my pastor, you my pastor. She owned this. She would make that 7-Up cake for me. Glory. She would tell me she's going to make it. And the joy that flooded my soul like a sea billows roll when I knew she was making that 7-Up cake. I had her word she was making that 7-Up cake. I didn't see it, but I had her word. I knew she was at home. I knew she had purchased the ingredients. I knew she was at home making it. And I knew that come the next week, it was going to be in my hand. I knew it. And so I had anticipatory joy. All week long, I was seeing that 7-Up cake come to me in that cake pan. All week long, I was seeing that thing. I was smelling it in the spirit. I was tasting it. In the spirit. Let me tell you something. When you smell and see and taste things in the spirit, the devil can't stop you. I came to church and mother had my cake. Hey, glory to God. Well, she stopped making my cakes. But because she loved me, she passed the responsibility off to Deidre. And so when I walked up to Mother, I said, Mother, I said, I want you to make me a cake. She said, I don't do that no more, Pastor. She said, Deidre makes them. So Deidre made me a cup. Then Deidre stopped. They all backslid. But then Deidre passed it off to Jamia, her daughter. Then Jamia made me one. You see, the point I'm making is when God gives you a vision, he'll pass it off to others and to keep you sustained. But if you cut yourself off from other people, you will never see what God is doing. Don't get discouraged because the one person isn't doing it anymore. God has somebody else to encourage you, to bless you, to strengthen you, because the vision is for an appointed time. It will not die. It's going to keep coming at you. And just when you think it's over, it'll come. Tell your neighbor, don't be miserable. It'll come. The first, write it down. Second, make it plain. Third, it's for an appointed time. Fourth, it will come. And fifth is the most difficult component that you must exercise, and that is wait. Tell somebody, wait. We don't like to wait. We assess things based on the immediacy of the moment. We see somebody moving into something, and then we assess it right then, failing to realize that it's the same God that's in control. Wait. Wait on the Lord. He said, be of good courage. Don't let the devil know that you're frustrated in your waiting. Turn it into a good time. Turn it into a time, hallelujah, of praise. Let the devil know that I'm waiting. I might have to wait, but I'm waiting for my change to come. I'm not sitting by with bitterness in my mouth and frustration in my heart. I'm waiting because I've got a promise from God. So I've got joy like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got hope that can't be extinguished. My vision is going to come. Devil, I'm not going to be miserable. I'm not blaming anybody else. It looks like the devil has won, but I've got victory coming with my vision. Take your eyes off of people and put them on the Lord. Come on, saints of God. Have a vision. Wait on it. Wait on it. Wait on it. The tactic of the devil is to keep you focused on who's in your way. The tactic of the devil is to keep you focused on the bad things that have happened to you. And all the while, you're looking at what has happened to you rather than what is happening. Lord, help me. Children of Israel focused on the fact that the Egyptians were coming up behind them. They failed to realize God had opened the sea in front of them. You keep looking at what's going on behind you that you'll fail to see what's going on in front of you. You keep holding on to those past mistakes, those past failures, those past disappointments. You keep bringing them up and dreading them back up through your spiritual life, and you're going to miss what God is doing for you right now. Listen, you are still in victory. You are still healthy. You are still alive. You are still walking in blessing. Don't hold on to the bad. Let it go as of right now. Look at what God is doing for you. You can hold on to old stuff. Yeah, that's what they did to me 5 years ago. Yeah, that's what they did to me 2 years ago. Yeah, that's what happened to me before. Child of God, I'm not looking back. I refuse to go back. There's some people you have to put out your life because they keep you looking back. They keep you so frustrated that you keep looking back. You got to get those folks out of your life because they are no good for you. They keep provoking you and angering you. They keep doing things that make you look back. You've got to get them out of your life. You've got to get with people that help you look forward, that help you see where God is taking you. They don't cause you to look at how many people have hurt you in the past. I'm forgetting those things that are behind me, and I'm reaching forth to something great. God has something better. I'm so glad I serve a God who will act unilaterally. That means he'll do it because it's the right thing for you, and he won't wait for you to do it. He's given you a lot of time, but you're not capable of moving certain people out because your heart loves them. So God says, fine, since you won't throw them out, I'll turn them against you. Anybody ever had that happen? Now watch this. All of you that God has done that to, and I'm going to say 2:4. How many of you can testify that since they've been gone, you've been better? You have more joy, more faith, more peace, no aggravation. And all this time, you've been reaching out to these people, trying to connect with these people. They've been inappropriate with you. And you just kept turning the other cheek and kept loving and kept, but inside you were dying because they were sucking the life out of you, killing your vision, destroying your joy. God said, fine, since you can't do it and since I want to show you how powerful I am, zip, he lets something happen that pulls them away, and now you can see clearly. You got your praise back. You got your joy back. You got your power back. Cut them loose. Listen. A soul tie isn't necessarily the result of sexual intimacy. A soul tie can also become the reality of a disproportional friendship. In other words, you have given yourself so much to this person that you have let them so deep inside of you that when God separates them, you hurt. And he's trying to cut that soul tie. And now you've discovered that all those devils you were trying to bind, all those satanic spirits that you were calling out weren't satanic spirits after all. It was them. Now they're gone. People obscure your vision. They get in the way. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, people perish. When you do not have a vision, your life is just nothing. I've asked God during my times of devotion, Father, in my role as pastor and my Episcopal responsibilities to pastors in the fellowship and beyond, Lord, why is it that so many of your people are disheartened, discouraged? The Spirit of God says to me in a very calm demeanor, it is because they lack vision. What is it that keeps me so full of effervescence, even in spite of the foolishness of people? Because I see further than where I am. I sit with the board of directors and I tell them it is my task to bring them my vision. My vision means I stand on Upsall Street and I look all the way down to Broad Street. I make the decision based upon what I see on Broad Street because I'm the ministry visionary. Their task as the board is to take said vision and find out what's necessary through steps to get us to that position. They do not argue the vision, they make the vision work. You need people in your life who will hear your vision and not keep talking about the obstacles, but say, this is how we can get there.
fully realizing. Fully realizing that on my way to my land of promise, I have a Pharaoh and bondage. Y'all didn't hear me. Because the implementation of a vision is not always pleasant. To have that beautiful child, you had to go through physical hell. To have that pretty baby that you're bragging about right now, you had to go through months of pressure. Sit down, couldn't get up and couldn't sit down. The smell of certain food sickened you. The pain prior to delivery. And I know those of you that have had children and have experienced that, when you get to heaven, you're going to say, Jesus, give me a minute. I'll be right back. Where's Eve? Come here, baby. Let me talk to you. All you had to do was leave that fruit alone, and I wouldn't have had the pain that I... I don't know if she had an apple. I don't know. The Bible just said it was fruit. For some reason, we always say apple. But let's just go with the idea that it was an apple. Take her an apple pie afterwards. Say, here you go. This is what you should have done with that apple instead of giving it to your husband. Now we had to look at all this anxiety and oh, Lord. But once that baby comes, once the vision is realized, sometimes your vision can be wrong. It can. That's why in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. I like that verse. It doesn't say in the multitude of counsel, there's instruction. It says safety. It means that there ought to be somebody in your life that you can speak to about your vision. And if they tell you it's not of God, you say, okay. My accountability group, I sit with these men of God and I talk with them. Sometimes I fly out to Cleveland to see my apostolic father, Bishop Ellison. He's, you know how he is. He'll just say, Lambert! You don't need that anymore. Gotta cut that loose. Cut that loose. Because he old school. They repeat everything because they can't hear. They got to cut that loose. Cut that loose. And I sit across the desk. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can't have those people in your way no more, Lambert. And I just share everything. I say, Bishop, am I right about this? No. No, that's not what you ought to be doing. You should move it this direction. Because you cannot pastor without having a pastor. Because here's what will happen. If you're left to yourself, you'll become vicious toward the people. And if you don't have somebody to tell you, back up now, you're not being right. Back away from that. You'll drive the lamb and the sheep. And drive them to weariness while they chase your vision instead of the Lord's vision. I don't care if you've been called to leadership, you ought to have somebody over you to teach you how to be compassionate, because we need compassion. But this vision, the Bible says, where there is none, people perish. And it's interesting here because this word vision, the noun means sight. And it has the further definition of mental sight. In other words, God will show you something in your mind. We always say, I got this in my spirit. What I got in my spirit. You don't know what your spirit is. You really don't. You don't know how to function in the spirit. Watch this. The Bible says walk in the spirit. Okay, how does one walk in the spirit? Praise the Lord. Mm. praise God, Pastor Martin. That's not spirit. That's not spirit. That's emotion. Here's how you walk in the spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faithfulness. That's walking in the spirit. Are you good to everybody? Are you gentle with everybody? Are you faithful in what you are doing? Do you love everybody? Don't tell me you're walking in the spirit and moving in gifts and revelation and you can't love your enemy. And I'm not talking about buying them donuts and flowers. I'm not talking, no, that's not love. In many cases, that's just pride. But I'm talking about dealing with a person's problems and loving them through it. Evaluating a person and saying, you're just a jerk, but I'm going to love you anyway. So don't go around talking about, I got this in my spirit. No, you got it in your mind. Because that's where it's hatched. God is spirit. And you worship in spirit. And when you walk in the spirit, it is the application of Galatians 5. The fruit of the spirit. There are people who work at holiness. I mean, they just work at it. They try to do what's right and end up doing what's wrong because they're doing it in their own strength.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2216A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Jesus says that we are the light of the world and that we are the salt of the earth. But just what does that mean? The Bible tells us that we should come out from among them and be separate, that you and I have the command to demonstrate the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, and the love of God, so that the world may know that the Lord exists. To that end, the Lord has encouraged us to write a book entitled The Christian and the Culture. The purpose of this book is to give you an opportunity to examine how the culture is trying to pull us into an ungodly lifestyle, but you and I are encouraged to live above the cultural trappings. You need to get this book into your library. There are chapters that talk about confronting the giants in your life, chapters that express God's love for you and how you and I are to separate ourselves, as the Apostle Paul says, by renewing our mind. And that is the basis of change. Our announcer is going to give you all the information you need to get this book into your personal library, to read it over and over and over again, and watch God begin to give you a sense of distinctiveness so the world will see that Jesus truly is the Lord of all creation.
Bishop Lambert's newly published book, The Christian and the Culture, is now available for purchase at Amazon.com and ChristianandTheCulture.com. Be sure to get your copy of this life-changing book and learn how to become a conqueror through Christ Jesus. For more information, call 215-885-2585.